The North Carolina Department of Transportation has hired its first official to oversee drones. It's also developing a mandatory test and permit system for commercial and government drone operators. The state is trying to get ready for new federal regulations that are expected to open the nation's skies to commercial drones sometime in the next year. Jay Price reports on the state of unmanned flight in the state where powered flight began.
Tom Zukowski is getting ready to launch the future of aviation over a cornfield just south of Raleigh.
I'm tightening the launcher elastics right now. So we're going to check and make sure everything's free and clear.
Zukowski is the flight operations manager for a tiny nonprofit group that, for now at least, oversees nearly all the commercial and government drone flights in the state. The Next-Gen Air Transportation Center is based at North Carolina State University. It works with researchers, government agencies, and private companies to help them get up to speed with drones before the expected boom.
One, two, three.
And there it goes. The rubber strap yanks the toy-like foam-winged plane up a ramp and flings it into the sky. Kyle Snyder, who heads the NGAT, watches nearby as the plane turns and begins passing methodically back and forth over the cornfield, snapping photos. His group has special FAA permits to use several test sites around the state, and it flies almost daily.
So the idea behind these practice flights is collecting data to look at, you know, how safe and what are the rules we need to put in place for using these things on a daily basis, right? The flight performance data, we share all that with the FAA. But the flight data looking at the crops, we've got one of our ag partners here today that's looking at yield predictions for corn.
Farmers are one of many groups that are eager to use drones. The State Transportation Department wants them for road surveys and bridge inspections, and at least one town plans to use them to monitor construction projects. Soon, they should all be able to fly without special permission when the federal and state governments end their moratoriums on most commercial and government drone flights. The state is rolling out a permit system, including a test. It's not designed to assess flying skills, and recreational flyers won't have to take it. But Chris Gibson, the new DOT drone officer, says it's designed to ensure operators know the laws that apply to what he calls unmanned aerial vehicles.
One of the things that people need to understand is if there's a law in the books that specifies something as a crime, just because you use a UAV doesn't mean that all of a sudden it's not a crime. So we have peeping Tom laws, for example, right? You can't go looking in your neighbor's windows. Well, you can't do that with a UAV either.
That's a pretty obvious way that somebody can use a drone for mischief. But many experts expect drones also will raise unforeseen issues and require changes to laws. Sarah Preston is policy director for the ACLU of North Carolina.
As the technology improves, they could get smaller and smaller and therefore less and less noticeable. So whereas you would maybe notice a helicopter hovering over your property, you're less likely to notice something that's maybe the size of a bird and that doesn't make a lot of noise.
Preston says the state's drone law, which went into effect last year, leaves too much potential for abuse. For one thing, it allows law enforcement agencies to fly drones over public gatherings, even on private property. She says they could even use facial recognition technology to identify people at, say, a political meeting or even a neighborhood barbecue.
This is sort of an exciting new technology, but figuring out exactly how to use it and how to use it properly and safely, there's still a lot to be done there.
Law enforcement, though, is only part of what local governments are planning to do with drones, and just a small part for some of them. A couple of years ago, the town of Mooresville bought a small hovering-type drone for about $1,000. It wanted aerial images of renovations to a town golf course for its website. Before long, though, the town was also using it for things like getting crowd counts at street fairs. And town manager Erskine Smith envisions using it to help track public works projects, find lost people, and maybe even give firefighters a bird's-eye view.
It's a very inexpensive tool that, you know, they always say a picture's worth a thousand words. And this is certainly an easy way to allow people to understand that you're going to build a road from here to here and get an idea of, oh, yeah, now I know what they're talking about.
Mooresville had to mothball its drone because the state put a temporary moratorium on their use by local governments. That will end after the state permits are available and after the federal government implements its own regulations. But the town found the drone so useful that it applied for special permission to get it back in the air sooner. That kind of eagerness doesn't surprise people in North Carolina's fledgling drone industry. Thomas Hahn is vice president of strategy for a Raleigh company called Precision Hawk.
The market opportunity for UAVs is quite large. There are estimates that the United States is in the hundreds of billions of dollars of market size in the future.
Red Hat founder Bob Young helped start the company, which just outgrew its headquarters. It makes drones, but focuses on sophisticated analysis of the data that they gather. Precision Hawk already does business in other countries where drones are free to fly, and Hahn is eagerly awaiting a wide-open market here.
When the final rule is made into law, we will see tremendous growth, primarily in agriculture, insurance, and energy.
Take your antenna and put it up.
Put it up?
Yeah, put it up.
One of the company's main markets is in agriculture. That's because the data that the aircraft gather can be used to help farmers do things like monitor pests and diseases and help them use less seed, herbicides, and pesticides and boost harvest size. So it's no accident that Snyder's team is flying over a cornfield. Drones can do a lot for corn. And as it turns out, the corn has something to offer drones in return. A soft landing place.
There we go.
This plane doesn't have landing gear, so sometimes the operators intentionally fly it into the field. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.
Today at noon on The State of Things, Jay Price will talk more about the steps North Carolina is taking to open the skies to unmanned aerial vehicles. Jay will also discuss drones and the role they play in the military.